Our dear Father, we thank you for new beginnings. You said to us in this month of September, it's our month of new beginnings. We thank you for new beginnings in our homes. Thank you for new beginnings in our families. We thank you for new beginnings in this church. Thank you for new beginnings in various areas of our life. Lord, we are grateful. Thank you, Lord, for your word that has come to us. We believe it and we receive it. Be glorified, Lord. Be magnified. In Jesus' precious name. Glory to God. God has kept us from January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, and now we're in September. Is God not good to you? Is God good to you? Hallelujah. He has kept us. He has preserved us. He has sustained us. And we're here to say thank you. Hallelujah. The word our Father gave us, the month of September, is a month of new beginnings. I want you to take that word and run with it. And one other instruction he gave us is break bread daily. As a family, break bread. As an individual, break bread. Glory to God. Amen. Run with the word, and we will sure experience new beginnings. I mean, he said to us that one of the ways new beginning will experience it, it will be characterized by restoration. That means what has been lost will be restored. That amen is paralytic. What has been lost will be restored. In the name of Jesus. New beginnings. But if you read that passage, there's something significant there that scripture says. He said, forget the past. Forget the former things. So one major key to enjoying new beginning is that you must learn to bury your past. You know, some of us embrace the past so much that we are not willing to step into what God has for us. Learn to bury the past and step into new beginnings, because it is season of new beginnings. Glory to God forevermore. Well, our Father is presently not with us physically, but is here with us in the spirit. Hallelujah. He sends his love to us. He's ministering in Abuja. Glory to God. Amen. Several places in Abuja. So he's ministering in Abuja. Amen. But our mommy is here with us. Glory to God. Amen. Once again, I welcome every one of us to the first Sunday of our love and marriage series. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I had said earlier that I will not teach in love and marriage, but I'm a man under authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us pray. Our dear Father, we thank you for this is the day you have made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Thank you for opportunity to look into your perfect law of liberty. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we see the things that you have in store for us. And let Jesus Christ be glorified, Jesus be magnified. I ask that you speak through me to us, answering the questions in the hearts of men. Help us to become better believers and help us to have a happy home. Be glorified, Lord, In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, before I start teaching, I want to say we produced some handbills for the love and marriage. Most of us were not around within the week. So at the end, close of service, you pick up some and invite people for the love and marriage teaching. Glory to God forevermore. This morning, I want to talk to us on what I titled, Love is Not Enough. Love is not enough. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, and then chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28, and chapter 2, verse 18. The theme for this year's love and marriage is built to last. So we'll be focusing on families. We'll be teaching us on how to build relationships that last, marriages that last. Glory to God forevermore. I want to say at the beginning of this teaching that do your best to listen for yourself. Don't listen for anyone. Do you follow? As I'm teaching, don't wish that somebody was here to hear what Pastor is saying. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
As I'm teaching, and it sounds like what your spouse is doing, don't peep and look at her, or peep and look at him. Do you follow?
Yes, sir.
Now, before I start, let me read a passage of scripture before I read my text scripture. James chapter 1, 22 to 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Scripture says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving who? Yourselves." It means each time you hear God's word and you do not act on it, you are deceiving yourself. You follow? "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." So you see, the challenge of a man that is not doing the word is that he forgets. Are you following me? Each time you pick the mirror and you look into the mirror, who does the mirror reveal to you? Who does it reveal to you? Yeah, the mirror will always reveal yourself. The mirror always reveal yourself. The Bible says that God's word is a mirror. It's likened to a mirror. That means each time you're studying the word or you are listening to the word is revealing your life. If the word is revealing someone else, you are not listening right.
Wow.
Anytime you are listening to God's word and you feel this word is revealing somebody else, you are not listening right. Listen for yourself, because the mirror of God's word reveals you. So if you imagine you are looking at a mirror, instead of seeing yourself, you are now seeing your neighbor on the mirror. There's trouble, isn't it? There's trouble, isn't it? Let me tell you, before I've already started teaching anyway, but let me tell you something. Each time I'm reading scriptures, especially in relation to marriage, I focus on instructions given to husband. I don't focus on instructions given to wife. Why? I'm not a wife. I'm a husband. But you know, most times what most people do, they look for what It's talking about somebody else. And they try to attack. If you will become a better person, your home will improve. If you yourself will become a better person, home will get better. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, no matter how beautiful your home is, no matter how beautiful your home is presently, there is room for improvement. Do you follow? No matter how beautiful your home is presently, there is room for improvement. As long as we are alive, we are always learning. When you stop learning, you start dying. In any area you stop learning, you lose significance. You start dying. So we learn every day. We learn to become better every day. Glory to God forevermore. So don't think that my home is good enough. You can make it better. Hallelujah. Until your home reflects Christ perfectly, your home is not good enough. So there is always room for improvement. There is always room for improvement. Now, back to our third scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Please pause in verse 27. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You know, if you start reading from chapter 2, verse 18, where scripture talks about it's not good for a man to be alone, you will think that marriage was an afterthought. Marriage was not an afterthought. Marriage was part of God's original plan for mankind. Marriage was part of God's original plan for mankind. That is why you see here in Genesis 1 verse 27, scripture says, "And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him." Then he went further to say, "Male and female, he created them." You follow? Genesis chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. This is the book of genealogy of Adam. "In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God." Verse 2. "He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind." Let me see verse 2 in Old King James, please. Verse 2 in Old King James. Thank you. "Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name" what? He called their name what? So when scripture is telling us that God created Adam, God actually created male and female. Adam and Eve. Marriage was not an afterthought. Marriage was part of God's original plan. Glory to God forevermore. Now, when you want to understand any subject in scripture, When you want to understand any subject in scripture, it is important you study it from the beginning. From the beginning, you will understand God's original plan, God's original intention. In the beginning, God created male and female. That means marriage must always be between a male and a female. It doesn't matter those that identify with their satanic aspects by saying that they are identifying with their female part or their male part. That is satanic. God created them male and female. Glory to God. Glory to God. Male and female. So marriage must always be between male and female. Another thing I want you to notice here is that when God created Adam, male and female, he created one man to one woman. He did not create one man to four women. He did not create one man to 72 virgins. So that is God's original plan. One man to one woman. Yes, several things happened after then. Some people disobeyed. Some people walked against God's will. Some people did different things. But God's original intention is one man to one woman. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. I want you to notice something else before I go into the main teaching. When in Genesis 3, I don't want to read it, I assume you know it. In Genesis 3, after Eve ate the fruit and gave it to her husband, and both of them eventually disobeyed God, both of them acted contrary to God's word. And when God came to Adam, and Adam said, "It is the woman that has been given to me that caused me to fall." And God addressed Eve also. She said it was a serpent. Eve had issue with Adam, but they did not divorce. That means from beginning, divorce was never God's plan. They found their way out of their challenge together. Listen to me. Divorce is not a solution to marital crisis. Divorce is not a solution to marital crisis. Well, when there is a threat to life, when there is threat to life, I agree personally that both parties should separate. Are you hearing me? Because you need to be alive to be married. Yes. If you're staying with someone that is threatening to kill you, don't joke with those words. The only way you can confirm if the person is serious or is joking is when you get to heaven. So if each time the person says, "I will kill you, I will kill you." You say, if the person kill me, they will send the person to prison. And later the person will receive presidential pardon. And live Muslim. Do you follow? Divorce had never been God's plan. In Malachi 2:16, the Bible says God hates divorce. Can we see that scripture? For the Lord God of Israel said, okay, New King James, I want you to see it clearly. Thank you. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates what? God does what? He hates what? God does what? He hates what? Why does he hate it? Because divorce was never his will for mankind. You follow? Now listen, God hates divorce, but he loves the divorcee. His love for you is unchanging. His love for you is unchanging. God hates divorce, but he still loves you. So even if you're divorced, God loves you. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Now part of the reason why, let me tell you, part of the reason why God hates divorce is because of what divorce does to you. What divorce will do to you. It will affect you physically, mentally, psychologically, in every area of your life. It will affect you. The same person you have been together, the same person you have claimed to love, now you will see by the roadside, you will not talk to each other. You meet in the shopping mall and pass yourself like strangers. Your son is now graduating. You'll be snapping as strangers. So all those pain makes God to hate divorce. In my few years of existence and my few years of walk with God, I've always noticed that when a man divorces his wife and remarries a new one, the first marriage is always better. Because the solution to crisis is not divorce. The solution to crisis is to get answer to your problem. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. So I said to us, I'm talking on love is not enough. Loving someone is not enough reason to marry the person. That you are in love with someone is not enough reason to marry the person. Please, can I get some volunteer? Can I get 3 or 4 married men? It's a simple question. I'm not putting you on the spot. If nobody is volunteering, let me have 3 of my pastors. They will answer me. Come closer. Very simple question. Don't worry. They are already here. Hello. The mic is still off. Can you give me another one?
Good. Please.
Just be sincere. Don't spiritualize anything. Since you married, have you ever seen any other lady that you love?
Plenty.
Why are you laughing? Simple question. You people are laughing. Have you ever seen any lady you love?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Give him the mic. So have you ever seen any other lady you love?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's the issue in love and marriage. People will just be making noise. Now it's you that are preaching your own message. I don't know what you are talking about. That is why Eli, I told you, if you travel again, okay, you say you are sorry. Let me keep quiet. Pastor Mike, come. Come, let me ask you.
Hello.
Since you married, have you ever seen anyone that you love?
Yes, sir.
All right. It's okay, it's okay. Just take notes. Take notes. Wait. I know she will ask you. Is it just one person you are seeing you love? No. Wait. I'm serious. Pastor Mike, is it only, since you married, is only one person you have seen that you love?
No, sir.
Plenty. If you like, travel for 6 weeks again and see what will happen. In fact, when I was advising some young men the other day, I said, I don't know why you people are finding it difficult to get married. Maybe your problem is that there are too many good girls around you. I said to one, I said, if God had asked us to marry seven, by now I would have seen seven to marry. Please sit down. If we ask the woman too, they will give you the same answer. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Why did I ask this question? It is not everyone you love that you will marry. Because people that you love, you will always see them. There is a reason why God makes you to love someone. Why God brings a strong attachment between you and someone. Often, it is destiny connection. But we misinterpret it as love, as marriage. That is why some people become polygamous. And that is why some people eventually divorce their partner. Because they are feeling now that they have found another love. You will always see someone else. As long as you are alive, you will always see someone else that you love. And let me tell you the other thing. As long as you are alive, you will always meet someone that you feel is better than your partner. Because the grass is always greener at the other side. There was one Sunday service I came in here. We were supposed to have a miracle service. And I had one new beautiful shoe on. But that shoe was painful. From my car to when I walked in here, several persons have admired and commented on my shoe. Say, sir, how beautiful shoe. But throughout praise and worship, I could not stand. I was uncomfortable. Now, since I knew it was a new shoe, I came with another one. So after praise and worship, I told my protocol, let's go. I changed it. Then I made a profound statement to him. I said, you see, this shoe is like marriage. People may be seeing you as though you married a fine wife. It's you that know what you are going through. So for those of you that think that marriage is a beauty contest, think again. For those of you that think that marriage is a beauty contest, think again. You know, we're discussing one time after our prayers as pastors, and Pastor Kate made a significant statement that I've never forgotten. I've quoted it several places. She said that the problem with singles is that they are single. They don't know what is entailed in marriage. And I was talking to one young man recently. I said, you see, the problem with singles is that they are looking for. But married people are looking for peace of mind. Those that are not married, they are looking for spec. I want a tall, slim, fair lady. Let her have long hair. As if you eat the hair. Long hair. Pointed nose. It's when she starts giving you trouble, you know that even that nose can point at you. So listen to me. Listen to me. Love is not enough reason to make a decision for marriage. Love is not enough reason. The courts are filled with people, with cases of people that were once in love. Now they are seeking for divorce. Now, if love were enough reason for marriage, they wouldn't seek for divorce. Likewise, I'm sure you have seen or you have heard of some persons that you know that were madly in love, in quotes, but now the man is beating the woman, or the woman is beating the man somehow. No, sometimes it's the woman that does the beating. Glory to God. So if love, so that when you see the person, you are feeling one kind, butterfly in your stomach, it's just a sign that you're a normal human being. So why won't you marry this person? Say, we don't have chemistry. But you have physics. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, marriage will not work for you because you're a Christian. Marriage will not automatically work for you because you're a Christian. Marriage will work for you because you chose to make it work. Marriage will work for you because you chose to make it work. There are a lot of Christians. Some are even ministers that don't understand this institution called marriage. That is why you see in this day and time, you hear of even ministers divorcing their wives to marry another person, someone that obviously they were already dating before he divorced his wife. And then the person will tell you, I have peace. Our Father in the Lord said that when your motives are wrong, the devil will give you direction. The moment your motives are wrong, the devil will give you direction, and you will feel that it is the leading of the Spirit. You will say that I have peace because your motives are already wrong. Your motives are already wrong. And often, men that divorce their wife to marry someone else, as they are facing crisis in the new home, they cannot speak up again. They become mute because everyone has warned them. A man of God said, there are three most important decisions you make in life. Number one, decision of where you spend eternity. Every one of us have to make that decision. If you die today, where will you spend your eternity? Everyone has to make that decision. If you die today, where will you spend your eternity? Then number two, the second most important decision is to discover your purpose and fulfill it. Discover your purpose and fulfill it. It's not enough to discover your purpose. You must run to fulfill it. You follow? It's not enough to discover your purpose. You must run to fulfill it. And then number three, a decision of who to marry. Who to marry? They are the three most important decisions you ever make in life. And then he went further to say, and I agree with him, that the last one, when you miss the last one, it can affect the first two. When you miss the last one, who to marry, it can eventually affect the first two. Of course, not fulfilling your purpose will be so glaring. But your eternity eventually can be affected, because you can eventually let go of your salvation. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now listen, watch now. Missing it in life, it's gradually. It is often not suddenly. Praise God. Now, assuming my destiny is to go through this door, God has ordained that I have to pass through this door to go to fulfill my destiny. And then I commence my journey towards this door. Then I deviate a little, just a little. I continue my journey. How many of you know, as I'm moving, it will look as if I'm still going towards the door? But as I continue on that wrong path, I will eventually end at the other end of the hall. So, missing it is a minor deviation. When you deviate a little, it will continue. What is the solution? Retrace your steps and start all over. Or else, you will never get to attain to your destiny. Retrace your steps and start all over. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Now, as important as the choice of who to marry is, it only contributes about 10 to 20% of the success of your marriage. You follow? As important as the choice of who to marry is, it only contributes about 10 to 20% of the success of your marriage. That means that if you're married and you feel that you made a mistake, you still have 80 to 90% chances of having a successful marriage. Because a successful marriage is a product of what you do and not just the choice of your partner. You can marry the right person and choose to do the wrong things, you will not have a happy, successful marriage. You can marry the right person. You prayed. Everyone supported. Everyone saw that, wonderful. You saw your pastor, as you mentioned, pastor said, wonderful couple. You make a great couple. But you choose not to do the right thing, you will not have a successful home. By the way, a successful marriage is a marriage that meets God's expectation for that marriage. For every marriage, there is God's expectation. So a successful marriage is a marriage that meets God's expectations for that marriage. So we are not focused on just a happy home. We are focused on a successful home. If you have a successful home, you'll be happy in the home. But you can have a happy home, yet you don't have a successful marriage. Because a successful marriage must meet God's expectation for that marriage. Glory to God forevermore. Now it's important I say that and I emphasize that, because one of the lies the devil tells a lot of believers, especially in the early days of their marriage, is that you marry the wrong person. He says it to a lot of people. Early days, when you begin to face challenges, the devil will tell you, you married the wrong person. If only you have waited for Tenimu. If only you have waited for Shuaibu. You see, Shuaibu too was asking you out, but you went for Shekolobilike. And now see what he's doing to you. When you begin to entertain the thought that you married a wrong person, you have opened the door for the devil to step into your home. When that thought grows, you will act on it. So no matter the challenges you are facing in your home, if you are married, settle it in your heart that you married the right person. But peradventure, you are still convinced that you married the wrong person. Remember these truths, that even the wrong choice you made only contributes 10 to 20% of the success of your home. That means if you choose to do the right thing, you still have a high chances of having a successful marriage. Like I said at the beginning of my teaching, focus this teaching on yourself. Don't think of your partner or your neighbor or anybody else. Focus on yourself. Choose to be the one that will do the right thing. Choose to be the partner that will be the right person in the home. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Listen, if you divorce your wife and you marry another, you are actually living in adultery. So said scripture. You are living in adultery. It doesn't matter how many men of God came to bless the wedding. Because a lot of people do a lot of funny things now. You divorce your wife to marry another. You are living in adultery. Say amen.
Amen.
Let's read two passages of scripture. Matthew chapter 19. Let's read from verse 1. Should I read Matthew now? If I read Matthew, I'll change what I'm talking of. Let's read chapter 22. 22 from 23 to 29. Before I'll read 19. 22 from verse 23 to 29. Old King James. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. You know, there are some cultures that still practice this. Let's go on. Now there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, died, and having no child or issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. So the seven brothers had her legally as wife. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, the parents tried. After my first children die, you not marry the third one. How will I keep giving you and they are dying? And no, I will not agree. Just go. Thank you. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her legally as wife. Jesus answered and said unto him, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You are in error, not knowing the scriptures, or the power of God. Error results from ignorance. for of what God says concerning a matter. In any area of life that you are ignorant of what scripture says, you will act wrongly. In any area that you are ignorant of what scripture says, you will act wrongly. Error results from ignorance of God's word. So if you don't want to live in error in your home, get knowledge about marriage. You follow? Get knowledge about marriage. You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Next verse says what? For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. When we die and leave this earth, there is no male, there is no female. So there will be no marriage. If you don't marry here on earth, you wait for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because you will never be married. You know, in some religion, they believe that what you don't get here, you eventually get there. I mean, I've heard one of their leaders teaching one time. He said, as you see him like this, he said, when he goes to heaven, they will be the ones taking wee wee. He said, if you beg him, he will not give you. That you see me like this, that will be the one taking alcohol, wee wee, and cigarettes in Al-Jannah, because we did not take it here. And then we'll be given 72 virgins. I don't know what the woman will be given. Therefore, listen, if you are planning to get married, do and get married. How do you know that you are supposed, you know, somebody say, Pastor, me, I don't want to get married. When you see someone of the opposite sex, does your body do you somehow? You are supposed to marry. If your body do you one kind, marry. Or you see couples, you are happy. Say, oh, couple goals. You should marry. Scripture says to avoid immorality. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Matthew 19 from verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished saying these things, he departed from Galilee and came into coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. Glory to God forevermore. Jesus always heals. Jesus always heals. Wherever he finds the sick, he heals them. Because healing is always the will of God. If you are sick in your body, you don't need to ask if it is the will of God to heal you. Healing is always the will of God. Because Jesus has paid for it. So he saw the sick and he healed them all. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, don't go there, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed, healing all that were oppressed, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That suggests to me that every form of sickness and disease is satanic oppression. Satan is the oppressor, Jesus is the healer. Make no mistake about it, they have not changed rule. Satan is always the oppressor. Jesus is always the healer. And the Bible says, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That means if you're sick in your body, that is satanic oppression. That is satanic oppression. And I stand this morning declaring as God's anointed, Jesus Christ makes you whole. In the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Every sickness, every ailment, listen to the word of God. I curse you in the name of Jesus. I declare healing and wholeness in your body. Healing and wholeness in your mind. In the name of Jesus. It may not be physical illness. It may be emotional illness. Receive healing right now. Receive healing right now. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Because Jesus always heals. Jesus is the healer. Satan is the oppressor. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Next verse. What is service if we don't talk about healing? Verse 19. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him. In verse 20, chapter 22, you saw it was the Sadducees. In 19, it was Pharisees. The Pharisees, the Sadducees actually do not believe that there is resurrection. So, let's read on. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every reason? You know what that means? That means that they are asking, if I come home and my wife did not cook the meal on time, is it lawful I divorce her? Every reason. Every reason. If I give my wife money to keep and she ate it, is it lawful to divorce her? If you give your wife money to keep and she ate it, it's a sign that you should not give her money to keep again. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Give her money for eating, not for keeping. Yeah. But it is no reason for divorce. Are you hearing me? It is no reason for divorce. Next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Have you not read that in the beginning God made them male and female? Next verse. I'll come back to verse 4. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. A man leaves father and mother. Why is it that scripture did not say the woman will leave? Because the woman has already left. The woman has left her parents. That is why she's handed over to you. She has left her parents. You should also leave your parents. Don't sit down and keep saying, but my mother doesn't like this. My mother said, in our house, this is not how we do it. No, listen. The moment you get married, you and your wife are forming a new home. Both of you are to decide what happens. Don't say, in our tradition. You are forming a new tradition.
Yes, sir.
of you are to decide what happens. Do you follow what I'm saying? One of the greatest tragedy that you will do to yourself, I'm speaking to the brothers, one of the greatest tragedy that you do to yourself is to disregard everything your wife say, feeling she doesn't have a say. Even a small child has something to say. How much more an adult? Sometimes even a graduate, you feel she's not wise enough to make suggestion. You feel she's not wise enough to make a decision. If she's not wise enough, why did you marry a dummy? Why did you marry a dummy? Husbands, learn to listen to your wife. I did not say follow them, listen to them. Because it is not everything she suggests that you should follow, but learn to listen to her. There are things that she's saying that it will save your life. Genesis 2:18. I will come back. I don't know. I've been saying I'll come back. If I don't come back, we'll come somehow. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. NLT, please. I will make him a help meet for him. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Your wife is just right for you. Your husband is just right for you. Is the help that is just right for you. When you ignore your spouse's opinion, you are ignoring your help. Each time you ignore, see, you may be 45 years old and you got married to a 20-year-old girl, 20-year-old lady. She has something to say. Don't say this small child. You didn't know it's a child, you married her. Somebody that can see your nakedness, you are calling her a child. Someone can see your nakedness. What else is left? You are saying she's a small child. You may be 50 years old. She may be 16. She has something to say. Because a lot of men talk down on their wife. They don't allow their wives to talk. And each time you ignore your wife, you silence her, you are silencing your help. If you keep ignoring someone, you keep making someone go silent, you feel the person's opinion does not matter. Eventually, the person will never talk, even when the person sees something important, because you feel that the person's opinion does not matter. Are you following me? Husband, as a man, one of the gifts that God has given you that you must learn to develop is the ability to listen. Listen. Learn to listen. Women love to be listened to. They love it when they are talking to you, you are listening. You may not understand everything she's saying, but sit down there and listen. If you want peace in your home. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Sorry, with due respect to my wife is a lawyer practicing law. Several occasions, even last week, she will come back from court and be narrating cases to me, telling me what happened. I will sit down and be hearing. Sorry. It's not all I understand. But you know what? I listen. When she finishes the part that I understand, I will ask questions. I'll say, hey, so what happened to this person here? The rest, I didn't know what she was saying. But that I sat down and I'm listening, that's all she wants. Because women generally talk more than men. Whether your wife is the quiet type, they generally talk more than men. Let me give you an example. If a man comes to church, for instance, church like this, and then he goes back home. Let's say he came for wedding. Okay, let's use service. His wife could not make it. And then he comes back home. The wife asks him, how was service today? He said, great. We thank God. He has finished. You think he has something else to say? He has finished. She said, how was it now? It was fine. And as far as the man is concerned, he has told you what happened. Because service was fine. But the man did not come to church and his wife came to church. You ask her, how was service today? Say, I'm coming, let me drink water first. Then she will drink water. Hey, my wife does that to me very well. She will be just saying, hey, sweet, wait first. She wants to clear the throat. So that I say, hey. I had to learn it. I did it for her one day. I was gisting her something. I said, wait first, let me go and drink water. I'm learning. Let me go and drink water first. She said, sweet talk now. I said, wait. When I came back, I said, that's what you used to do to me. When we were talking, you say, let me drink water. This small gist, you say, let you drink water. So the woman will tell you, you mean service? Oh my God. When VOC started singing, the atmosphere, see where she's starting from? The atmosphere changed. There was one brother that came and gave testimony of how God delivered them from accident. You mean, then there was one sister that also testified. She finished, is it NYC? And then she was getting, they were giving her offer for a job. And less, then when Pastor Anointed came up, You know something? Very surprising, you know? He even called four brothers. He asked them if they ever liked somebody. And all of them said yes. Oh, can you imagine? You mean? So, baby, you too used to like somebody? Huh? You think that, you know, when we got married newly, my wife asked me one question. I don't know if she can still remember. She said, sweet, let me ask you something. I said, what is it? She said, why is it that men like looking at women when they pass? I said, I don't know. I said, go and ask them now. Ask them that are looking. Why are you asking me this type of question? Then she said that, but you too, you look. Men are created to look. Looking is not an issue. It's what you do after the looking. You follow what I'm saying? It's what you do after the looking. You know, there's this young man that I know, him and his wife, they'll be gisting. Him and his wife say, somebody will say, see that fine babe. The wife say, hey, she's fine. Say, hey, but you can't have her. Take your eyes away. So
So women always talk more than men. When you don't allow a woman express herself, you are starving her emotionally. When you don't allow a woman express herself, you are starving her emotionally. And then the woman will tell you, you don't love me. You'll be wondering, with all that I've been doing, I bought you a new car. I always give you money. Any need you bring, I supply. I'm always there for you. I help you do school runs, everything. You say I don't love you. What she's simply saying is, you are not listening to me. That is what she's saying. She's simply saying, you are not listening to me. So when a woman says you don't love me anymore, find out what is actually happening. There is something in particular she's referring to. But most men, the mistake we make is, when a woman says you don't love me anymore, you try to be defending yourself. But I did this. I bought this for you. I took you for outing. I bought new clothes for you. I always provide. I do this. How will you say I don't love you? Learn to love people based on their terms, not your terms. Find out what they are actually referring to as love. Find out what they are actually referring to as love. Because if you don't find out, you will have crisis in your home. And the devil will begin to tell you that you married the wrong person. It is not the wrong person you marry. You are not just doing the right things. Glory to God forevermore. Learn to give a listening ear. Learn to give a listening ear. It was one day after service, several persons were waiting to see me. And then one lady came, she was talking. I'll not describe the day. She finished talking. Then she said, thank you very much, sir, for listening. And she left. Pastor Kate was standing close by. I called her. I said, I don't understand anything she did talk. But she felt better that someone listened. If you don't listen to your wife, a stranger outside will listen to her. And when a stranger listens to her, she will start getting emotionally attached to a stranger. So you'll be wondering, say, but she called herself a sister. She called herself a sister. No, she's still a sister. She's still a child of God. But she's getting emotional satisfaction elsewhere. That is why I tell you that no matter how beautiful your home is, you can make it better. Glory to God forevermore. No matter how beautiful your home is, you can make it better. Please, let's read John 13, verse 17. John 13, 17, King James, and then Amplified. Can we read it together? One, two, go. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Amplified translation. If you know these things, blessed and happy, and to be envied are you if you practice them, if you act accordingly and really do them. Most times as believers, we come and we hear the word of God and we never act on them. Now that you have known the truths, happy are you if you do them. If you act on these truths, you will have a successful marriage. Glory to God forevermore. If you act on these truths, you will have a successful marriage. I've just
trying to introduce what I want to talk about. I'll continue in the second service. God bless you.